Chapter 18. The woman the folks in Scottsdale knew as Dee Harrington stared long and hard in the mirror. She understood that her reflection was pleasing, that any modesty about her appearance would be false. And while she wouldn't say that her beauty was a curse, it hadn't always been a blessing either, especially not at the Bureau. Men and women alike were always eager to take her, but never took her seriously. They were always willing to pay her attention, but never heed. As she tried to look through her own naked reflection to what lay beneath, she wondered if that's what this had all been about, the need to be taken seriously. When she began this sojourn 14 months ago, she didn't think so. Then it felt like it was about getting the bad guys, about getting justice even if everyone else looked away. Now that her resources were nearly depleted, and she'd only scratched the surface of Vic Prado's criminal enterprise, an enterprise her supervisors at the FBI dismissed as fantasy or stupidity, she wasn't so sure it had been worth the risk. More and more she felt like the desperate gambler who had gone all in with only a pair of deuces to play. At the moment, she was questioning every decision she'd made, from taking medical leave to sleeping with Jesse Stone. She liked Jesse well enough. He was certainly a good-looking man, and while no one would ever confuse his dinner repartee for Churchill's, he had an edge and a vulnerability about him she couldn't quite make sense of. The sex had been mind-blowing. But had she slept with him purely out of desire, or because she hoped Jesse might finally be her way to get to Vic Prado? Had she slept with him as a kind of fuck you to the Prados, or was sleeping with Jesse a wave of the white flag? Did she just want to grab a little bit of joy for herself before surrendering, before going back home to D.C. and trying to rebuild her life? She just wasn't sure of anything anymore. What she knew was that she'd been invited along to New York to keep Kayla company and to entertain Jesse. For reasons she only vaguely understood, it seemed that Jesse Stone's pleasure was of paramount importance to both Vic and Kayla. Both spouses had separate agendas, and both prominently featured Jesse Stone. Now, because he'd been called back to paradise on what his note had called police business, even Jesse Stone was a dead end. One of 100 dead ends she'd steered down since she began tilting at this particular windmill. With Jesse gone and last hopes gone with him, she'd feigned illness, opting out of another night of handholding with Kayla, while Vic acted the part of Grand Poobah to his minor league baseball buddies. She supposed she could have dealt with Kayla. She sometimes enjoyed her company. Apart from her vague melancholy, Kayla could be fun. Kayla understood better than most what it felt like not to be taken seriously. There was one night back in Scottsdale, when they'd both had a little too much tequila, that she'd almost confessed to Kayla about coming after Vic. That what galled her more than anything else was that her female bosses had been the most dismissive of her. But the words never made it past the tip of her tongue. Had their paths crossed by chance rather than by plan, she and Kayla might have been friends. No. She shook her head at the mirror and watched her blonde hair sweep back and forth over the tanned skin of her bare shoulders. Not only wouldn't she and Kayla have moved in the same orbits, they wouldn't have even moved in the same galaxy. Who was she fooling? She knew she was fooling no one, especially not herself, not any longer. Although it felt as if she had pushed all her chips to the center of the table with a fatally weak hand, she knew she had one last chip in reserve. She could finally give Vic the only thing he really wanted, her. She had toyed with the idea for the last month or two as her money ran low and time grew short. Once that barrier had been crossed, she was sure he would tell her things. Nothing else had worked. No matter how she had coaxed or cajoled, flirted or badgered, he had refused to let her invest money with one of the firms she was sure he was fronting for. It would have been so easy. Her money would have been like a dye marker in the blood. She had downloaded everything off the hard drive of Vic's home PC, off Kayla's laptop. She had asked Kayla 1,000 different questions in 1,000 different ways. She had talked to all of Vic's closest friends in Scottsdale. All it got her was eye strain and a few lurid propositions. At least Vic hadn't been crude about it. He had made his desires known to her, but without pretense, without pushing. She had to give him that. There was that one time, 6 months ago, when they were going to play tennis. A storm blew up, and they wound up drinking instead. He had kissed her, slipped his hand under her skirt before she pulled away. Now she wished she hadn't. She wished she had just got it over with. Now it was way beyond wishes. It would be about desperation. She noticed tears in the mirror and turned away. She had played the part of Dee Harrington for so long, she wasn't sure of who she really was anymore. She threw on a robe and reached for her phone to call Abe, the only person at the bureau who knew what she was doing during her medical leave. But before she could dial, the phone rang in her hand. She recognized Kayla's ringtone, saw Kayla's sad and lovely face on the screen. She thought about not answering, but Dee Harrington was feeling so empty at the moment, she picked up. "Dee, Dee," Kayla said, nearly breathless. There was a lot of background noise, as if she was calling from a bar. "Vic says he's got to go to Boston and then to Paradise. Wanna come?" Dee couldn't answer for the sense of relief she felt. Then, almost immediately, the relief was replaced by the memory of Jesse Stone's touch. "Just try and stop me, darling."